Good morning. This morning we're going to be talking about Christ is coming. And I want to start with the lines from the movie Prince of Egypt. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but Prince of Egypt is the story of Moses in his life. It's an animated feature, but it's actually quite an intense show. And it shows the life of Moses as he takes his people out of Egypt. But the movie starts with them working, yelling, "Mud, sand, water, straw, faster! Mud, sand, water, straw." They're having to put these bricks together and they're under the oppression of the Egyptians. Faster, harder. They're struggling under this slavery. And as this song continues, it builds up to a chorus where they sing, "Deliver us. There's a land that you promised us. Deliver us to the promised land. Deliver us. Send a shepherd to shepherd us and deliver us to the promised land." In this song, you can feel their pain. You can feel their oppression. You can feel the questioning and the longing. "God, where is this promised land? You promised it to us. Where is it? Will you deliver us to that? You promised us that someone would come and take care of us. Where is this shepherd to shepherd us? Deliver us. Shepherd us." And in the history of Israel, this is not the only time that they're going to feel oppressed. This is not the only time that they need deliverance. Again and again, in the time of the judges, in their cry for a king, when the nations around them were hassling them, when in the time of their exile in Babylon, from the invasions of the Greeks and the oppressions from the Romans, over and over, for them it's "deliver us." They needed to be delivered from their oppressors, and they're asking God to do that. But you know what? Throughout all of that history, there's something greater than their oppressors that they needed to be delivered from. And it's the burden of their own sin. It's the weight of the sin that is in us and in them. They need to be rescued from the tyranny within, from their own sinfulness and selfishness. And you know what? We all need to be rescued from the tyranny within. You know, for many of us, the things that are oppressing us aren't the mud, the sand, the water, the straw. Some of us might be crying out, pride, anger, lust, fear. Or maybe we're crying out, hurt, greed, malice, lies. Deliver us, God. Shepherd us from these things. Where are we? We're under this burden of the sin. And so the Israelites continued for centuries with a sense of anticipation and longing. Deliver us. Shepherd us. And what they were waiting for was the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that who would come and take away all their sins, that one that would come and shepherd them as the good shepherd of God. And we're going to look today at that. And what we're going to see is that God lined up history itself to make this come to pass, to bring a Messiah who would deliver them and shepherd them. And what to come to pass would be the most amazing, pivotal moment in history. And when you look at and see today what God has done to line all that up, I hope you have a new appreciation for what happened when Christ came to earth, when the Messiah came, and what God did to cause that to happen, as we look forward to that. And one of the things that, as I go through this, and some of you might have a little sheet with some references and stuff, that's not an outline, okay? Don't even try and follow that, all right? That's a reference sheet because I'm going through this kind of as a story, and I'm not going to have time to hit Bible references. But I want you to be able to go home and say, "Did the Bible really say what Dave said?" Okay? Or maybe you thought, "Where does that prophecy really show up?" Then you've got it on that sheet. So that sheet is for you to go home and do any homework or follow up, or you want to challenge me on something, you're free to do that. But don't try and follow that through the sermon because it's probably not going to do you a whole lot of good. Okay? That's what that's for, is for your homework. You can try, but good luck. When God did this, okay, God manipulated history. And he made sure everything was lined up. And we're going to look at five areas where God carefully planned and lined up and executed things in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And all of these five, they kept narrowing things down to a greater and greater sense of an anticipation of God, are you going to deliver us? God, are you going to shepherd us? Are you going to deliver us? Are you going to shepherd us? And so the five things we're going to look at are the purpose, that God had a purpose for the Messiah. What will the Messiah do? What is his purpose in coming? And then the people, Where did this Messiah come from? Where are the people that he's done? And then we're going to look at prophecies. God lined up prophecies so we would have confirmation of what this are. And then we're going to see the politics of the time that God lined things up in terms of when this should happen. And finally, we're going to look at the person. Who is this Messiah and what has he accomplished? So first, the purpose. What will Messiah do? Well, what were they crying out for? They're crying out, deliver us, right? Shepherd us. What the people need is a deliverer and a shepherd, someone who can deliver them from the bondage of their sin, the bondage that started in the Garden of Eden. And this whole thing starts at the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, where man falls and God says and makes a promise that he's going to send one to redeem. And so we need the salvation from this bondage of sin that started there. There's a sin that separated us from knowing God personally and intimately and cut off our knowledge. And in the midst of that being cut off, now there's not that communication, there's not that personalness that was. And so they need a shepherd, they need someone who can lead them, someone who can speak to them, a leadership that they can look to, and a tangible presence in their midst once again. So he came for deliverance and a shepherd. So here's the three things that he came to accomplish. One, he would save the people from their sins and conquer the enemy. He would do that. He'd be a perfect sacrifice, giving his very life. And then after giving his life, taking it back again to prove who he was. And for those of you who are theologically inclined, that's he had three roles. That's the priestly role that he had. Number two, he brings truth. He's going to speak from the very heart of God. He's one who can, when he speaks, this is God speaking. This is not a prophet. This is not a history record. He is going to come, and the purpose for this Messiah is to be able to communicate to us, person to person, man to man, the very heart of God. That's his role as a prophet. And number three, he will come and he will rule and reign the universe. And that is his role as king. He will be the great shepherd that the people can trust and they can follow. He will provide protection and guidance and security and love and all those things that are needed. So there's this great need for a Messiah to cover sins, to deliver, to shepherd. Deliver us and shepherd us, they're saying, from these things. But to prepare the way for this, God had a people. He had a people in mind that he was going to pull together. So in God's great moving and manipulating of history to prepare the way for Messiah, he chose a specific people to work with. He chose the Israelites to make them distinct from the other nations. And so in Genesis chapter 12, we see him calling Abraham. And so Abraham becomes the father of the Israelites. And he worked in and through Abraham and through the Israelites. And so he worked them so that they would understand their need for the Messiah. He gave them the law so they could see how hard it is to live up, actually how impossible it is to live up to the perfection that God requires. He showed them through the various things that he did, his great and mighty acts and his great power. He allowed them to see time and time again the futility of falling away from him and what that would do to just draw them away and that they would need him. And he gave them over and over even examples of shepherds that would shepherd them out from their oppressors. And the first one we already talked about was Moses. And then there's Joshua who shepherded them into the promised land. And then the time of the judges, they had Samson, Gideon, Deborah, others who would take them from their oppressors and be a shepherd to save them from these things. He showed them Saul and David and Solomon who could build a kingdom and who could be those who could lead and building a kingdom that was God's righteousness. He gave them Elijah and Elisha speaking truth in the midst of corrupt rulers. He gave them Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah who could shepherd them and lead them and rebuild after they got exiled from Babylon. So over and over again, the people are shown you need a deliverer, you need a shepherd. And so over and over, they get this greater and greater sense of anticipation. Because over and over, they realize that if they don't have a great leader, if they don't have God, if they don't have a deliverer, they're sunk. And so this frustration grows over the centuries, and desperation grows over the centuries. How can they be, who's going to deliver us? Who's going to shepherd us? The anticipation is growing. We need something here. And so they're waiting. But how do they know this is going to happen? How can they be sure that this is going to happen? How can they be sure that the Messiah is coming? Why should they even maintain hope over all this time? And after all these deliverers and shepherds we have, how will we know who the one is the right one? How will we know when it's him, when it's Messiah? And so God, in his great moving of history, puts together over time prophets and prophecies to explain and to tell of these things that he will do. And so these prophets gave details and explanations and signposts so they would know that this is the Messiah, and they would be reassured that, yes, the Messiah is coming, and yes, this is what he will do. And this went on for centuries. And we're just going to go through a few of the prophecies that we see. There's many, many more. But to confirm to his people, he starts out, and I already said this in the beginning, in the garden, when Satan deceived Eve and Adam, and God said, I'm going to crush the head of this serpent, and I'm going to bring a Messiah, the seed of a woman, who will be the one to come and redeem. And later, this is still 2,000 years before the Messiah ever came. 2,000 years. Think about that. Think about what happened 2,000 years ago from now. That goes back to the time of Christ, right? 2,000 years before he ever appeared, God spoke to Abraham about his offspring being the blessing, that from his nation would come this Messiah. And then 1,500 years before he ever came, Moses gave the law with numerous things that pointed to who the Messiah would be and what he would do. And Moses becomes a type of Christ and one of the deliverers. And then 1,000 years beforehand, God reveals the Messiah would come from David's line. And David starts prophesying in the Psalms that Messiah would suffer greatly, giving specific descriptions of what that suffering would look like. Prophesying that the Messiah would die but would be resurrected. Later in the prophets, 700 years before he ever came, Micah prophesied that Messiah would come from Bethlehem. And around that same time, 700 years, Isaiah prophesied that there would be a herald who would come before to announce the coming of the Messiah. And we know that's John the Baptist. Isaiah prophesied he would be born to a virgin, that he would provide salvation to all the nations, not just the Israelites. 500 years beforehand, Zechariah prophesied that Messiah would come in and ride in on the foal of a donkey, that he would be sold or considered worth 30 pieces of silver, and that he would suffer greatly. And then 400 years beforehand, Malachi once again prophesies that there will be one who would come beforehand to pave the way for the coming of this Messiah. And these are just a few of dozens of prophecies, many of which are extremely specific, that point to them to be able, and to us, to be able to identify who is this Messiah. And as they see more and more that these things are coming out and more, their anticipation is going to grow. Yes, there is going to be one who will deliver us. There'll be one who will shepherd us. Yes, we want this person. We want him to come. And they're waiting, and they're waiting. But when? When will it happen? And God, in his great moving of history, manipulates nations and empires for his purposes to line up for the Messiah to come. And so we see the politics. God gets involved in the politics of that time to line things up so that it's ready for the coming of the Messiah. And in the 1,000 years before the coming of Messiah, God allowed numerous empires to come and invade the land. Most notably were the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And what the Assyrians and the Babylonians did is when they conquered a land, they took the people and they brought them to their own nations and they transplanted them. What was God doing? God was taking Israelites who had the sense of this promise, that knew of the promises, that had anticipation, and was spreading them all across the land, all across the nations, so that when the news came, he would have people there all over ready to receive it. Then, after that, there's two extremely important empires that evolve and come through and take over in the land. The first is the Greek Empire. And what the Greeks did was they brought culture and a common language everywhere from Rome across to Babylon. And everybody needed to learn Greek. God's paving the way so that when the Messiah comes, there's a language that everybody can hear it in. When the Gospels are written in Greek, it's now just as good in Rome as it is in Greece, as it is in Israel itself. And the next empire that comes in is the Romans. The Romans were great builders, and they built roads, and they built communication systems and transportation systems, so that when Messiah came, that there would be a ready network, of communication and transportation to spread this word all over in a way that it could never have happened otherwise. Now, for the Israelites, they didn't see the great benefit of the Greeks and Roman invasions. From their perspective, these are just oppressive empires coming in, occupying our land, bringing great taxation, bringing heathen practices, bringing oppression, bringing false religions, bringing a lack of freedom. They didn't see it as a blessing at all. And in fact, by the time the Romans came, and by the time they're ready for Messiah, it had been 400 years since Malachi, the last prophet, had ever prophesied. So there's 400 years of silence. And in the back of their mind is still, God, deliver us, shepherd us, deliver us, shepherd us. These Romans are killing us. Deliver us. But God's preparing them for a Messiah. And so with the right purpose, from the right people, with the confirmation of prophecy, with in the right time and place, and the politics lined up, he provides the right person. Who will this Messiah be? And here there was two things that he was prophesied to be that would be totally distinct from anyone else. One, he was prophesied to be a man, to be fully man, to be human born. We see in Genesis that he's going to be born of a woman. We see again in Genesis he would be of Abraham's line, and then later of Judah's line, and it keeps getting narrower. And then finally we see that he will be from David's line. Someone who's coming from a line is a person. It's not a spirit, it's not an angel, it's not something else. It's a person. Born to reign forever. And one of the things that's interesting, scholars note, is that when Jesus was born, the temple was still there. And the temple had the genealogical records. So Jesus was born of David's line, and we know that that both Joseph and Mary came from David's line, from different parts of that line. The records were still there to prove it. Someone could go into the temple and see. He's a man born of people. He was as much human as any of us. But not only is he prophesied to be a man, but he's also prophesied to be fully God. The man part we can handle, right? But the God part, that's something entirely different. How are you fully man and fully God? And yet he's described in these prophecies that we've talked about, he's described as being called the Son of God. Not a Son of God, not one of the God, the Son of God. He's prophesied as being at the right hand of God, equal with God. He's given divine titles like Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We all know that from Isaiah that's been sung in the Hallelujah chorus, right? So here's the great intersection of human and divine coming together in a long-awaited Messiah. He's God's chosen one, filled with the Holy Spirit, select, special, one who can deliver and shepherd like no one else. One who will come and save people from their sins and conquer the enemy. He brings salvation for all. Israel and the nations, everyone. Freedom from sin, comfort from afflictions. He is the Savior. He's a Messiah who brings truth, speaking from the heart of God, displaying love and humility and kindness, standing up for true righteousness, for justice and mercy. And he's one who can rule and reign the universe, victorious and exalted as one who has conquered the enemy. He'll be the great shepherd that people can trust and can follow. He provides guidance and protection and security. So as we think of the coming of the Messiah this year, I want you to think about the magnitude and the significance of this event and how God did this and everything he did to make it happen to come to this one point of the coming of a Messiah. From the moment sin and bondage entered the world, he put in motion a plan, his great plan, to provide a Messiah and erase those effects of the sin. And he appoints an entire race, a nation, a country, a people with millions and millions of people, that he gives them a rich history and a deep culture and his personal interaction and his personal messengers so that they are prepared for this Messiah when he comes, so that they can understand who he is and that they can tell the world who he is. And over hundreds of years, he puts together hundreds of prophecies and events and people who speak and predict and describe everything that happens when the Messiah will come, that describe who he will be, where he'd come from, what happens in his life, what will he do. And then God manipulates the strings of entire empires. Think of that. To pave the way for the coming of the Messiah and assure that this could go out as easily and quickly as possible. From all of this preparation, the perfect person comes. One who's a mystery, yet we can understand him somewhat. Someone who is man and yet God at the same time. One who dies and yet lives. One who is greater than anyone else, can do more than anyone else, because he is someone entirely else. He is God and man. And he is one who can deliver us and shepherd us. He can deliver us and shepherd us. Finally, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up because we're going to sing the song Good Christian Men Rejoice. Yeah, come up now. And we're going to sing the song Good Christian Men Rejoice. And what I want the rest of us to be thinking about is this. The Israelites, can you sense their anticipation over centuries and centuries of this? We need, where is the Messiah? Deliver us, God. Shepherd us. Do we appreciate what God has done for us? Do we appreciate that God deliberately moved heaven and earth and time and space so that you could have a Messiah and know the Messiah? Can we have that level of awe and wonder in this season when we think about that? That God has done that. Is that not amazing? And is it not praiseworthy? And it is something worth rejoicing. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we are going to sing the song, Good Christian Men Rejoice. And I want you to sing it rejoicing and thinking about what it says, that one has come to the lowly manger, but it's also one who is the King of everything. Let's worship God together.